As we mentioned earlier, Stefan Deneuve will be conducting a Bernstein extravaganza tomorrow night here at SPAC, the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. And Jamie Bernstein will take part in a tribute to her father, Leonard, which will feature members of the New York City Ballet.
The program will include the composer's suite from Fancy Free and Something Coming and symphonic dances from West Side Story.
Jamie Bernstein frequently works with symphonies as a narrator, and she helped develop a school concert program for the Philadelphia Orchestra, collaborating with Michael Barrett, who worked as an assistant conductor with Leonard Bernstein. She developed a program about her father's music. She will be hosting and narrating the performance tomorrow night here at SPAC, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to our live broadcast this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. What a delight.
I am delighted.
Thank you so much for being here and for coming up a little bit early to be with us. It means a lot to us. When we talk about your narrating, and I assume with that narration comes a certain amount of interpretation, doesn't it?
Yes, I suppose so. I mean, when I talk about my dad's music, I talk about aspects of the music that excite me, and I share that with others. And I do that with concerts that are about other composers as well.
At what point did you start to understand and want to further explore your father's music and share it with an audience?
At what point did I start this? Well, it began in the 90s, I guess. My father died in 1990. And after he was gone, suddenly my brother and sister and I realized that really what we could cling to was his music, and that was a way of keeping him alive in our lives as well as in everyone else's lives. So we became very involved in keeping his legacy vibrant. And somebody came to us with an idea for a concert, an educational concert that would be like the young people's concerts that my dad used to do on television with the New York Philharmonic, except about him and his music. And what did we think of that idea? And I thought it was a great idea, and in fact, I saw my hand going up, raising my hand to volunteer to develop this concert, and that's what I did with Michael Barrett, and we put this concert together called the Bernstein Beat, which is all about rhythm and uses all the jumpingest Bernstein music to explore rhythm.
What did your father teach you, Jamie, about music? In other words, sometimes doctors' kids become doctors and professors' kids become professors. Did that happen with you?
No, you know, it's funny because in some families where the parents are musicians, the kids take to it like ducks to water, and in other families, they don't. And I don't know why. I mean, look at Isaac Stern's two sons. They're both conductors, and Peter Serkin, Rudolf Serkin's son, is also a pianist, and so on. There are many examples. And then in our family, it just didn't work out that way. We all had our piano lessons, and we didn't practice, and we had bad attitudes, and we just didn't
Sounds
turn
familiar.
Out to be musicians, but we're all very musical, and we're also, funnily enough, we all ended up it being in some way or other educators. Mm. And I think that's very much something that we got from our dad, because everything he did was a form of teaching and communicating.
Did you ever talk, education to him? Or, I mean, did he ever say, this is what I want to get?
No, he didn't have to say that. He just was it.
It sure.
You know, there was nothing, there was no communication he made that wasn't a form of teaching or sharing something that he was excited about. Everything he did, from conducting to rehearsing an orchestra to playing a jingle from an ad on the piano to telling a Jewish joke, everything was the same basic process of tugging you by the sleeve and saying, listen to this, this is great, I have to share this with you.
That's
so
great.
All of life with him was like that.
Did he transmit to you the sense of social activism that he certainly had?
Yes, we really grew up in that environment. The whole time we were growing up as kids, we were watching both of our parents being very much involved in civil rights and then the anti-war movement and no nukes and you know, all sorts of issues.
Yeah. Did you ever have to take any abuse because of that?
Abuse from whom?
The outside world. In other words, Black Panthers and things like that. I mean, there's still people who yell about it.
Yes, people who are uninformed yell about
it. I couldn't agree with you more.
It's a very interesting story that people don't generally understand because it was very misrepresented by Tom Wolfe in his book. So I can't get into it now. It's too, it's a Megillah, as they say.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, we all got some guff for it, but it you know.
It made you stronger.
Yes. It made us stronger, I guess.
Cool.
Give us an idea of what you'll be doing tomorrow night.
Well, tomorrow night there are going to be several Bernstein works on the program. There will be Fancy Free, this marvelous ballet that my father developed with Jerome Robbins when they were both about 25 years old. I mean, they were kids.
Sure.
They were kids, and they cranked out this fantastic, innovative, exuberant ballet, which is still beloved all over the world and gets performed constantly, and everybody loves the choreography and the music. So we're going to get to hear that tomorrow. I can't wait. Mm. And then there will be one excerpt from West Side Story that will be sung and danced, I believe. Something's Coming. And then we'll hear symphonic dances from West Side Story, which is a fantastic orchestral compendium of all the dance music.
When somebody puts on West Side Story, do they have to come to the family?
Well, they have to go, they have to get a license. It's not just the family. I mean, let's not forget, there are other collaborators in West Side Story.
Oh, yeah. So there are.
So if you want to put West Side Story on, you have to go to Music Theater International, which is a theater licensor, and you have to get your license and, you know, pay a fee or however it works. That's if you're like a high school, you would go to MTI, and if you're a regional theater. But there's a different formula for how it gets done in what they call first-class venues. Like, that's, I think there's only London West End and Broadway. Hmm. That's like a different formula for those. That's already much more than you needed to know.
No, I just wanted to follow up on Alan's question because I think it's fascinating. So, West Side Story aside, how involved are you and your siblings in your father's legacy when it comes to his music?
We're very involved. Very involved. Because in addition to West Side Story, which is his best-known work, there are so many other works. Other Broadway shows, and also his symphonies. He has many orchestral pieces, and he has several ballets as well. So there's really a big catalog of works that people can choose from. And, you know, we're already getting very excited about 2018, which will be our dad's centennial.
Yeah. Wow.
And you can just imagine all the exciting stuff that's going to be happening on his 100th birthday.
What's your favorite?
My favorite piece of my dad's? Well, this week, and it really changes from week to week, but this week, it's he has a wonderful orchestral piece called Serenade, which is kind of like a violin concerto. It's beautiful, and it has a slow movement that could melt you. So that's this week, I'm all in love with Serenade. But ask me next week, I'll give you a different answer.
Do you think there is anyone that rises to that, that is in the league of your father? I mean, is this sort of standalone as far as what he accomplished and the legacy?
Well, I don't think there's anybody quite like him. There are many people who are like aspects of him. I mean, when it comes to being a conductor, he often comes to my mind when I watch Gustavo Dudamel. They have a lot in common in their approach to conducting. But Gustavo Dudamel is just a conductor. He's not also a composer. So when it comes to composing, you know, there are certain composers and so forth. But I don't think there's any one person who composed that many amazing works, conducted that many amazing orchestras, and put out those astonishing recordings by the hundreds, plus was an amazing pianist and a really good writer and narrator and teacher, and was pretty easy on the eyes, too. That's what, you know, that's like the alignment of the planets, a syzygy,
yes.
You know, where all the planets align. I don't think there's anybody who's done that.
So when a young, or maybe not so young, when a writer, when a journalist comes and says, oh, you know, I'm going to do a biography on Leonard Bernstein, do you all cringe, or do you welcome that, or how is that?
Yeah, we don't cringe. There have been several biographies. Some are pretty darn good, and some are pretty darn not good.
Yeah.
But our general approach to people who are curious about our dad's life is not to be secretive and not to be seeming to squirrel things away into a corner, because I think that just encourages people to have a more prurient interest in the aspects of our dad's life that you know, might be racy or something. And we would much rather just put it out there and say, yeah, that's what he was, and it was fine, and he was a fantastic human being with a gigantic heart and a lot of talent, and he put a lot of stuff out in the world, and there you have it. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Do you ever get nervous when you got to go up there and do the narration? Do you have any butterflies?
No. You know, it's funny. I used to be a singer-songwriter for many years, and I would be in an agony of anxiety about that. So compared to that, talking is so easy, especially if I have my remarks in front of me on a piece of paper, which I do if I'm narrating.
So what's the relationship with the conductor like?
As the narrator?
Yes,
between narrator and conductor?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the conductor. Some conductors are very grateful that they don't have to do any talking and that they can just, you know, hand it over to me. And then there are other conductors who like to talk. So, for example, Michael Tilson Thomas, who is a friend of mine, is a conductor who really likes to talk, and he's very good at doing his own narrations and has gone to great lengths to do online work where he narrates about pieces. He's done all kinds of...
Comes naturally because his grandfather was the great Tomaszewski.
Well, there you go. It's true. He has those little hats and canes on his DNA.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And so when I've narrated concerts with Michael, we have shared the talking. But then there are other conductors who are thrilled that they don't have to open their mouths. So it depends.
And then tomorrow you have Stefan Dudnov, and I'm pretty sure he likes to talk, but you'll work it out.
We'll work it out, yeah.
Yeah.
So is there eye contact? I mean, you know, I often think of the Lincoln thing, and then, you know, people are going, and I've seen it done so many times, but then you really wonder if, because it gets complicated. Sometimes they have, you know, people like the late Julia Childs or other people doing it. They don't read music.
Yes, you're right. However, the narrating that I do is not during the music. It's in between the pieces. So I don't really have to work it out with the music at all. I mean, I have done a Lincoln portrait, and then it really helps if you can follow along with the music and there are cues and you have to really watch that conductor. And a Lincoln portrait is often narrated by non-musicians, and then they just have to watch the conductor like a hawk for their cues.
Yeah. So the late Mayor Whalen of Albany, I believe, did it once. Imagine.
Lincoln portrait?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't imagine that. We had, who do we have? And we had Deval Patrick, who did it.
Yeah.
And we had Alec Baldwin, who did it. Yeah. Here, we had him here. And it's a fascinating...
relationship.
With the list of people who do it. How many of those do you do a year?
Concert narrations?
Yeah.
It depends. Every year is different, but I'm on the road a lot. So I would estimate maybe a dozen a year. I have a yearly gig with the New World Symphony where I narrate educational concerts that are for adult audiences. And that's really fun.
Who used to be kids when they watched your father?
Yeah, right. But the idea is also to bring in people who don't really ever go to concerts and don't know anything about symphonic music, and then my job is to get them excited about it. So, and there's a big video component. So they're wonderful little hour-long-ish concerts, and I do two of those a year, and I do each of them twice. So that means I get down to Miami around November and February. Good gig.
That's a good time to get down there. The Bernstein Extravaganza with the Philadelphia Orchestra and the New York City Ballet, conducted by Stefan Dudnov and narrated by Jamie Bernstein, is tomorrow night at Friday night at 8 o'clock. Yes, am I right on that, Shane? 8 o'clock? Yes, I'm being told. You can find out more by going to SPAC.org, SPAC.org. Jamie, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Wonderful to be here.
A delight. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.